Welcome back to today's episode of Work Life Harmonized. This is Dana Mahina, founder of the Work Life Harmonized movement and the new author of B is for Burnout, Not Bitch, available on Amazon.com right now, just in time for this new year. Please continue to join us. Listen to this podcast, share it, rate it, like it, wherever you listen to your podcast shows, iTunes, Spotify, and more. Remember that when you listen to this show and take time out of your personal day on your personal journey, you will be listening to how we explore, highlight, and celebrate women and a few good men. As a ground shaker and recovering Silicon Valley executive, there has never been a better time to trade the bullshit and instead trade up and in the harmony. This is today's episode, and we're so grateful to you for taking out your precious time to spend this time with us. Thank you for listening, and check me out on Instagram at dana.mahina and on the website at danamahina.com. And now, on to today's show. And we're back with Work Life Harmonized. Today's guest is someone I am excited about. I read her book before I ever got a chance to talk to her, and author to author. Big, huge aloha and open-hearted welcome to Dominique, who goes by Dom Farman. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited. I'm going to just read a little bit about you. I have a list, like a cheat sheet, because you do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Conscious leadership, global talent executive, founder, investor, speaker, performance mentor. Like, you're featured in InTouch and all these like mediums. Like, how in the world do you do all this? And at the same time, you write this book called Now Here. And you've gone from this toxic psycho boss, as you call yourself, to a conscious connector. How do you go from that to this and still do all of these different roles in life? Dom, help us.
Yeah. You asked me on a day that was very varied in my multi-passionate existence. And I don't know how I do it, but I'm very energized by what I'm working on at the moment. And so it feels easy. It doesn't feel like work. And it actually feels like a lot of these disparate things that I do between recruiting and coaching and group coaching and conscious culture building for companies, like all of those things, they weave in and out and they're not as disparate as one might think. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's been quite an evolution. And I definitely was not this way before. I was only doing recruiting for the longest time.
So it's ironic. I don't have a whole lot of guests on the show. The show's been running over 4 years now. We're doing very well, they say, whomever they are. Mm-hmm. I also spent about 22 years in staffing and recruitment. So we have a lot in common. I'm surprised we haven't met in the past, although you feel like a kindred spirit, because I also, from the outside, look like my hands are on everything. I'm known as an octopus, yet they are integrated by design, not default. Does that resonate with you, Dom?
Totally. Couldn't have said it better. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you, kindred sister spirit. So you wrote this book Now Here, and you dedicated it to your grandma, Dorothy, and your son, Baxter. And I found that in itself to be very interesting, because talk about generational lenses. Mm-hmm. What is the number one thing that Grandma Dorothy passed on to you? If you haven't read the book, everyone, dear listeners, read this book. It is really heartfelt, open, honest, and transformative, and Dom does not hold anything back. What did Grandma Dorothy teach you?
Yeah, I would say she just led life in love and compassion and empathy. And the joke at her funeral was that everybody thought that they were the favorite. You know, like one person would get up and be like, well, we all knew that I was the favorite because my dad has this big extended family. And I really had to take the cake because I know I was the favorite. So that's just FYI. But I think for her, like, you know, you felt just so seen and so valued for who you be, no matter what. Like, you could have been one of her sons that had a crazy lifestyle and lifestyle choices like my uncles, or you could have been me or another grandchild or just a range of whatever. And she just kind of was very welcoming and supportive and encouraging and showed up in love and compassion. So I think that's what I got from her.
We talk a lot about that on this show, and work-life harmonizers are really interested in being their most authentic selves. And of course, reducing burnout and increasing joy is my hyper-focus for 2024, in particular for women and a few good men. What would Grandma Dorothy say to someone who's burning the candle on both ends to the point where there's nothing left to give themselves? What would she tell us, Dawn, if she were here today on this show? Give her a voice.
Well, I would tell you what she told me in one of my healing journeys. And she just said, you don't have to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders anymore. It's okay to rest. And really self-love and compassion. Like, those things came up in my journey. And it was interesting because I had a really challenging plant medicine healing journey. And she was there. And at the end of it, I kind of felt like I had my head on her lap and she was rubbing my head. And she just said, see, this is what I wanted to show you. You can rest. It's okay. Self-love and compassion. There's nothing for you to do. There's nowhere for you to be, you know, just here, just like rest. And so that stuck with me a lot. It took me a few years to integrate, and it's ebbs and flows. There's times, you know, this time last year, I was in a different state of panic with the way that my company, my recruiting company, was going. And then I had a little smidge of like a glimmer of hope and a little bit of time off for the first time in a long time after running my team and building my company. And then this year I'm in sprint mode where I'm building other businesses and doing other things and exploring different things that I want to try out. And so I'm very like experimenting, but also that means I have a packed schedule, you know, so I'm trying to balance that. And even I just was telling some of my Instagram followers that I'm taking a sabbatical from my graduate school program because I was like very much borderlining a new level of burnout. The same time, the degree I'm getting is called Consciousness in Action, and it goes into a PhD in regenerative leadership. So I really had to practice that and even name it. And so the beautiful thing about the school that I'm in, there was no blame, shame, or guilt. There was no, well, you should just push through. They fully supported me and said, yep, we'll see you when you're ready to come back.
So for those of you that are listening that can relate to what Dom is saying and also what Dom is going through, I want you to know that even if the school or the boss or the toxic workplace or relationship you're in does not give you the space and grace that you need and deserve, take it anyway. Because there is only now. Yeah. And if you think about now here and the beautiful seeds that you planted throughout this book, I'm actually going to read a very short excerpt in a minute. I love to read from my own book. I always feel like I'm Carrie Bradshaw on Sex and City. There's something I actually captured from your book that really resonates with myself and our listeners. Tell us about Baxter for a minute. How would he speak to you when you're burned out? What has he taught you about motherhood and how to put yourself first?
Well, Facebook often reminds me of the things that he would say when I was not present, when I worked all the time. And even if my aunt texted me the other day and she was commenting on something I posted, and she said, you know, he told me some days he wished that you would just come outside and play with us, because you weren't ever around, because you were so busy working. And for the longest time, the story I told myself was that I'm trying to build my empire. I'm trying to give him the best life. I'm trying to make money and achieve financial freedom and all of these things. And it kept me in my workaholism cycle. And quite honestly, like, it kept me being hands off in the family dynamic. You know, I kind of was like, I'm the worker, my husband's the house person, and that's the dynamic. And I didn't even want to own my role as the mother and what that meant. And so it's definitely evolved. And Baxter has been my greatest teacher in that. And, you know, now we just recently moved back from California to New Jersey, where we rebuilt our house that got destroyed by the hurricane. And we're all just so happy. We're just so happy being here. We don't have to do anything. We're just at our house and we're together. And he is like a whole new person. It's crazy. We were talking about it the other day, just how he's blossoming and how well he's doing being back in a familiar place and feeling safety, you know, after not feeling that way for a couple of years. So, yeah, I would just say he brings a lot up to the surface, you know, and he's also now like reminding me of how far I've come because now I do my best to really integrate his stuff into my life and my workload and try not to miss the things that are important to him. Before it was like, oh, Saturday, I'm not a soccer mom. I'm not going to do that. Now he's into basketball. Like, I'm there. I'm in it. We're together. We make sure that it's really a family thing that we do. So, you know, he's been a good mirror for me.
That is exactly the word, mirror. And our kids are definitely our mirrors. And mine are now 20 and 24. We talk about my girls a lot on this show, and they've even come on the show to say choice things to me on Mother's Day. So hang on to yourself when you get there. Although, I mean, allegedly, it's different when you raise boys. I don't know if that's true. I think people are people. So what our kids really show us is our higher selves in some ways. Do you resonate with that, Don?
100%.
Yeah. Explain that to the listeners. A lot of them feel that way already, and some really want to get there. They'll send in DMs that say things like, I know what you mean by higher self, but I don't really know what you mean by higher self. So will you
Yeah.
enlighten them?
I like to think of my higher self as my soul's purest expression, my essence. So I think of the ego and the essence living within me, the yin and the yang. You know, people say divine feminine, divine masculine, whatever, all of that. But I call it ego and essence. And so when I think of my higher self is my soul's purest expression. It's uninhibited. It's perfect the way that it is. And it's usually that little voice. So I talk about it in my book. It's that voice that got me to take action and get my ass out of bed that day. I was really, really, really in a stupor, like in a peak depression. It was the voice that got me to take action when my grandma passed away and go to a therapist after 9 months of like laying in bed sobbing and, you know, abusing substances and all kinds of things that kind of try to help get me through that situation. So I think of that as like that is your higher self. But sometimes it doesn't sound great. I mean, until you really start doing your inner work, until you start healing some of those patterns of behavior, your inner self might sound like an asshole. And
Yeah.
I know, you know, like I know mine did for a long time. It sounded like some angry, pissed off dude
Yeah.
yelling at me all the time. So
It's so ironic you're pulling this thread because this is the little excerpt I wanted to read. So may I?
yeah, go ahead. I love that.
And this book, honestly, everyone, please get the book. And as you know, authors need reviews. So please give a great review to Dawn. After years spent tolerating toxic corporate work environments, I had grown accustomed to my more toxic masculine energy. I was dealing with corporate men the majority of my days, so it made sense that I started to act like one, even in my marriage. I was the breadwinner who took care of the bills for a long time. I no longer felt that I could just be a woman or recognize my positive feminine energy. The power that came with acknowledging myself as a woman. But it hadn't always been that way. I remember at 16 being beautiful inside and out, innocent and feminine. I was a student athlete with everything going for her. But as soon as we moved to Newport, it felt like my life became work, work, work. And then boom, I was suddenly an adult with a fucking career. So I told myself I needed to grow up quickly and be serious. That was the start of the hardening process of my personality. So workaholicism was born right there.
Yeah, 100%. When I was 16, I mean, probably earlier because I was such an overachiever in school. And, you know, from a young age, I wanted to do everything and be the best at everything. And so that just manifested into then wanting to work and make money. And I mean, I remember one day my dad didn't give me $20 to go to the mall with my friends. And that was it. I was like, nope, I'm done. I'm getting a job. I'm never asking you for anything. And like hyper overcorrect on that. And the rest is history.
Yeah, hyper overcorrect. We have so much in common. It's probably good we weren't friends because we would have been, you know, burned out at the age of 12. Similar stories. And a lot of times we teach what we most need to learn as coaches. I'm realizing I'm 30 years as a coach, which is kind of crazy and it makes me sound so old, but I feel great. I'm 56. Screw it. I don't care. And it's my show, so I can say things like, fuck it. It doesn't matter. So you also wrote interestingly about the big T's and the little T's standing for trauma. And in my first book, I wrote about the big F's and the little F's in failure. I just, again, it's interesting how similar our points of view are, yet like all women, we're maybe in the same storm, but we're in very different boats. No two of us are alike. So what do you mean specifically around the big T's and the little T's? Because a lot of people are dealing with trauma.
I think the interesting thing is that the body keeps the score. There's a really good book called The Body Keeps the Score, but your body can't really differentiate between like the level of the trauma, you know? Like when I think big T, it's like car accidents and health issues, cancer. Like those are generally considered in the majority, like a very big, obvious thing that can feel traumatic, right? Little T is more like the microaggressions that many people feel all day, every day, or living in the patriarchy, or whatever, you know, like all the things that we that are just under the surface. And in some cases, you know, that really triggered my parents when I A, when I told them I was going to write a book, and then B, when I talked about big T and little T trauma, they both immediately felt defensive and were like, well, what are you going to talk about? What, how bad was your childhood and what the hell? And like they had this whole reaction. And I said, look, it wasn't about you at all. And maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, but it was my lived experience of my childhood. So you had yours and you never acknowledged any of it. I had mine, and you not acknowledging your stuff then comes to me and then goes to my son and, you know, generations before and after. So it's not even like specific things. It's usually a lot of little things that are just under the surface that compound over time that you don't acknowledge or handle. And then they turn into bigger things. And often they turn into health issues. So for me, last year, I had a huge anxiety attack and took myself to the ER because I thought I was having a heart attack. And then, you know, they had diagnosed me with high blood pressure and stress and anxiety and all this stuff, which I knew was there, but I didn't really pay attention because it wasn't like this big catastrophic thing. It was kind of just like low key, always there.
So when it's low key always there, it almost sounds like a little T will become a big T if you don't do something about it. Is that a
Yeah,
bridge too far, or is
exactly.
that
No, I
reasonable?
think that's exactly right. And that's why I even mention it, because it's kind of like, hey, take the flashlight and shine it into those dark corners of your mind a little bit and see what's like going on, especially when it comes to triggers and things like that. Like I, you know, an example, my dad is generally runs very stressed out, so he could get coffee that isn't too hot and fly off the handle, and it's like, whoa, okay, well, what's that from? Like, what, why are you reacting like that? So it's kind of like noticing what the triggers are for you, and then getting curious and like peeling the layer back and the layer back and the layer back.
So, listeners, you know what to do. If you're driving, please don't write anything. If you can safely voice talk into your device, great. If not, you'll do this later. Those of you listening online, at home, or wherever you may be without driving, I want you to write down the three things that you consider to be little T's that are triggers that maybe come from trauma, so that Dom and I can help you with what those are and what to do next.
Kindness and bless and share. Forgiveness always happens when you open your heart to love. Blessings from Creator and the laws from up above. Good vibration. Mana is on the rise. Natural feeling. Emotions are so alive. Pure compassion.
And we're back. The magic of podcasting. So, Dom, they've written down their three things. give an example of how you'd coach somebody to deal with one thing that's really triggering them that comes from maybe that little T in trauma. How do you help someone come up? Because after down comes up.
Yeah, I like to ask questions. So I'm thinking through, I was doing some work with a client of mine, and I recognized that she, her self-talk was so critical, you know, that essence and ego, but her ego is really just on fire, kind of running the show. And it was challenging because it brought to my awareness a reflection of how I used to be and how I used to talk to myself. And so it was really just asking questions like, you know, what can you think of a situation early in your life, maybe in childhood, where you didn't feel, I don't know, seen, loved, acknowledged, accepted, or when you sacrificed joy for acceptance,
oh,
you know,
say or more,
something
Dom,
like, something like that. Right. And so I kind of posed that question to her, because the issue that we were working through was around acceptance from other people, from her coworkers or from whoever. And I just texted it to her. I said, hey, I want you to think about at what age you feel like you really sacrificed joy for acceptance. I'll tell you, mine was 6. I remember it. And when I first thought about it, and one of my coaches asked me that question, I got really sad and I cried. And I was like, holy shit. Like, I've been spending my whole life, like, you know, worrying about this. And so first, like, what's more freeing than forgiveness and forgiving yourself for carrying all of that the whole time?
Yes.
So it's really like, I would just coach someone on asking questions and peeling back layers, to get to the root. And maybe it's a specific situation that we often can or can't remember. I know a lot of my childhood, I don't remember a lot.
There was same.
Maybe, like, once a year of a big memory, and then the rest was like, I don't know what happened.
I always say repression's a great strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting you bring that up. And if you're listening to the show and thinking about your own self and your own situation, I thought about 7th grade, where I was really ostracized from a group of really bitchy, mean girls. And it was way before that movie came out. Thanks, Tina Fey. Great movie. So yeah, I took me back there and I realized I sacrificed a lot of things, including joy, to be accepted. And of course, I wasn't accepted anyway. I was just too weird, way too contrarian. Here comes the Aquarius and her crazy out of the box left of center self, which would become an asset. Yet throughout my life, especially my very corporate life, it was a problem. It was brought to my attention time and time again. Like, you're so smart and you do this so great and all these things. And then I actually had a boss say at a very like high end Fortune 500 company, you have this basket of other stuff. And of course, true to nature, I look left, I look right. And he goes, see, you're doing it now. I said, I'm looking for the basket. And he's like, this is my point. What he's trying to say, and I was too young to get it. I was like 27. He was saying, why won't you conform? Right? Why won't you become part of this political machine? We're so quote unquote successful. You have such a bright future. If you'll just not be yourself.
Because that's the dominator power model. And like, we're going to teach you how to think and be and exist in this machine, because heaven forbid you show up as an individual with your own magic and agency and perspectives and, you know, conviction. That would be way too much for them.
What will we do with a group of people in a company like that, that think for themselves? What would that be like? Imagine. So I don't want to have to wrap up soon, and yet I'm recognizing the time, and we haven't even talked about a few of your work-life integration strategies. Can you just share a little more of your very articulate wisdom with people as to what do they do to get to the point where they're integrating the things they care about the most, career, family, friends, community, their own well-being? Can you just share a little bit of advice, Dawn?
Yeah, I think you start with your values and understand what's important to you. And then the rest falls into place. But first and foremost, I know for me, my values used to be financial abundance, challenge, and opportunity. And so that would create and perpetuate my workaholism cycle. And every day my values were met. And so I lived in that and it was awful. When I shifted my values in 2021 to time freedom, creative freedom, and peace and tranquility, with peace being the number one, then my whole life shifted. And then I did carve out time that in my morning is my morning devotional. But when I started my morning devotional, it was a disciplined practice that I had to follow. It was rigorous. It was like checking a box. It was another to-do. It felt like shit. And so over time, it probably took maybe, I don't know, 3 to 6 months of sticking with this and working through my own resistance of journaling and prayer and meditation and reading books and writing and all the things that make up that practice. It now has evolved into my daily devotional. I still do it in the morning. I do my prayers in the shower. It can take anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour if I'm lucky, if I have that time and bandwidth to do it. But also, it's a non-negotiable for me. I know I have to plug into myself first so I can plug into others. I also know that's a privilege, and not everyone has, help with kids and all of those things. And so, from a very practical sense, I think it's getting clear on your values, making decisions based on those values, and finding time for yourself to connect wherever you can. If it's not in the morning, like it is for me, maybe it's in lunchtime, maybe it's evening, maybe it's three good things that happen as you're falling asleep. Wherever you can get that time to really just connect with yourself, I think is the most basic, straightforward thing that I would say as a place to start.
And connecting with yourself, if you haven't in a while, dear harmonizers, we know we've both been there. It's tough. If you're disconnected now, reconnection might be the most basic, simple thing. I was just talking to a client earlier today, and she's petting her dog's belly and reconnecting with herself while she's probably, doing 7,000 other things. And yet it's petting the dog's belly. It's that routinize. I can count on it. Yeah. So is there something that is your go-to, Dom, that if you don't have time, effort, or energy, your ego and your essence are at odds? What's your go-to?
I think my go-to is prayer, to be honest. Like, that's been an anchor for me. And it's not something I did even like 2 years ago. It was not like coming from growing up in a Catholic church and Christian church and all the churches to now really moving more into what is spiritually aligned for me and not necessarily following a specific denomination. It felt strange to quote unquote pray. It even felt strange to say God and believe in this thing. So it's taken me a while to get there, but it's definitely an anchor, and I can do it wherever. I can do it in my car. I can do it, in my shower. I can do it in my bedroom, like whatever. It just has really been helpful, even if it's a 2 second thing.
It's really important. And for those of you that are ready to get back on connecting with yourself and your own true essence and dealing with your ego, we all have one. I strongly recommend that you read this book and follow Dom and get to know her and her teachings. She's extremely open. I am very grateful that you were willing to come onto the show because clearly you're very busy and you had to prioritize this to make it happen. And that doesn't go unnoticed. How do people reach out to you? Where do they find you? Anything you want to share as we close out today's Work Life Harmonized episode?
Thanks again for having me. I loved our conversation. You can find me on my website, domfarnan.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, same thing, Dom Farnan. And then on Instagram at I am Dom Farnan. On Instagram, there's a Linktree thing. So there's all my stuff and all my contact there.
And we will include ways to get a hold of you and find the book in the show notes. So I love my guests to close out the show instead of myself. I'll just thank you when you're done. The final word or quote or wisdom to share and impart is yours. You have the show, it's yours. Go for it, Dom.
Yeah, I think I would just say, follow your path, follow your journey back to your own heart. It's so worth it. And don't have a timeline. Don't think you're going to arrive and then check the box and nothing else is going to happen in your human existence. Just, you know, the journey is really the way. So be open. I had a quote that came to me in a breath work, and it was, don't try and get to the end of the road and chase the rainbow or the pot of gold. If you look up, like, the whole road is paved in gold, something like that. Like, that was what came to me from my spirit guides or whatever, because I kept thinking about this chase and this constant, like, if this, then that, if I get over here, then I'll be happy. And then this will happen. And one of my coaches said that to me, because I was telling her about moving back here. I said, well, I just feel like I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And when I get there, it's going to be great. She's like, well, why can't you just be in the light now? Because it's great now. And why can't you just be in your greatness now? And I'm like, that's right, Angie, you're good. I was like, yeah, okay. And I told my client that today. We had a one-on-one session, and she was talking about, well, I just need to get through this and get through that. And when I move here, then I'm going to be this. And I said, how would it feel to be in that energy today? Because you can choose that. And she's like, all right, I'm going to try it. I said, okay, good. Let me know.
And that's why the present is a gift.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That is a wonderful way to wrap the show. We're so grateful. With deep aloha from the island of Kauai, we say thank you, thank you, thank you, mahalo. And we will be in touch with you again. I'm sure the listeners are going to get so much out of today's episode. And that's a wrap. Oh, thank you. That's it for today's show. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to find me on Instagram at dana.mahina and on our website, danamahina.com. As always, if you're looking for more ways to beat the burnout and integrate work into life, you can subscribe to this channel. Please rate and share this show wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, and the like. Today's original score is from dear friend and sister to the show, Kauilani Kahale Kai of the Hawaiian Islands. We thank her for her beautiful gift of music. And until next time, ahoy ho.